Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome everyone, and welcome to the Halloween episode of Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess Kat, and I have Hanako with me. Welcome back.
Hey, glad to be back.
Yay. Well, we have a girls show today, so, you know, it's Woo-hoo. Gonna be just the girls, and we're just gonna be yakking. Don't turn it off or anything, you know. Cause I'm like, oh, girls show. What we're talking about today, we're going Supernatural, we're going Vampire Diaries, and we're gonna talk about a little bit of New Moon. Oh, it'll be very exciting. Vampire Day.
All right.
Happy Halloween out there to all you ladies and gentlemen, and, hope you had fun. What'd you wear for Halloween? I know you went to a party.
I went to a party, but I didn't dress up.
For shame. Why not?
Funds. Just simply funds. I went, I took my camera, I took loads of pictures, and those are all up on Facebook. But yeah, I had a great time.
Okay, was it a Harry Potter party?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, that is, you didn't have your old Harry Potter stuff laying around?
You know what? I did, but I didn't feel like pulling any of that out because I've actually lost weight since last year, so my shirt doesn't fit me correctly.
Ooh, sexy mama.
So I just decided, I just put on my Ron Weasley shirt, just went rocking the Ron love, and just went. We had some really good costumes, though. It was a lot of fun.
I saw a lot of them. You had like a whole bunch of cool costumes at that party. Like, you had fun.
We did. And the hosts, Andy, Lisa, and Josh, they were awesome. They really killed with the decorations.
That was the Harry Potter, what is it called? The Harry Potter something,
they,
something.
The Atlanta? Death Day Party.
Oh, Death
they
Day.
Did a Death Day Party, yes.
Okay, cool. That is awesome. Well, and speaking of death and day and getting grim and stuff like that, we're going to start with Supernatural. And this season has been a little weird for me. The last episode was Curious Case of Dean Winchester, and it kind of seemed like the apocalypse was on hold for this one.
Well, I think what Supernatural has done consistently throughout the years is, even when there's a huge storyline, a very heavy storyline, they throw in a standalone episode every once in a while just to kind of lighten things up, you know, just to kind of, I guess, break the dark mood.
Yeah.
And it's like, even with this episode, no, it wasn't apocalypse, but at the same time, it was kind of refreshing that the episode wasn't all gloom and doom, you know, except for the little stuff that they had to encounter this past weekend. I mean, this past week, but I find it kind of refreshing. I mean, like I said, to have to deal with the gigantic consequences of what's going to happen, you know, for a full 22-23 episodes, I think that would just be way too much to deal with.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, we'd be depressed by the end of the season. So, you know, I don't have a problem with them throwing a little fun here and there. I thought the episode
was... It was a fun episode, but I thought, yeah, it was very funny. You know, I'm really glad that if they were going to do an age thing, they got a whole different person to play Dean as an old man. I really enjoyed that one.
Yes.
And if you didn't watch Supernatural this week, Dean got into a bit of trouble. He played poker for years on his life. Well, initially, what's his name? The old guy.
Bobby.
God, jeez, he's going to kill me. Well, he's not going to kill me because he didn't. Whatever. Bobby played poker for years off of his life. He lost, what, 50, 25 years or something like that. Dean tried to save him, lost 25 too, and he got replaced by Chad Everett as an old guy, and it was pretty hilarious. Chad did a very fantastic job as playing an older Dean.
He did.
I'm just glad that they didn't put Dean in some crappy makeup, and then, you know, it would have been just, I don't know, it wouldn't have been right.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch, just, you know, seeing Dean try to get up the stairs and try to flirt with the housekeeper at the hotel.
Oh my gosh, she wasn't feeling him.
Exactly. She's like, oh, you're so cute. You remind me of my grandfather. That was, yeah, it was a cute little episode, you know. Just But yeah, the last couple of weeks, just the underlying adult humor in the show, you know, last week with, was it last week or 2 weeks ago with Dean and the hair and the hairy palm, and this week Sam gets the clap just.
Oh my God. That was so amazing.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah, I think in this episode too, the brotherly angst that they had back and forth about Sam being responsible for the apocalypse, that just wasn't there this week.
Yes, and it was so refreshing to see Sam and Dean be Sam and Dean for a little while.
Yeah, you think they're going to go back to the whole, you started the apocalypse, I hate you, we need space, I'm on my period. I mean, what are...
Well, to be honest, I mean, it would be unrealistic to see... It would be unrealistic for them not to go back to that, because it's such a huge, huge thing. I mean, how do you ignore something like that?
You know, my God, you can only tell somebody you started the apocalypse so many times before it's like saying you burned my hamburger. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but it's think about human nature. Think about real life. How many situations do you have where, you know, people cheated on someone or they betrayed someone and it's consistently thrown in their faces?
You
lied to me, as opposed to you let the damn devil out the gate. You know, it's a pretty hefty responsibility. But I mean, even last night they made like a small allusion to it when they were talking about, oh, I wonder how it'll be when I'm this old. And Sam said, you're assuming that we're actually going to get old. And Dean was like, oh yeah, right.
You know, yeah, so that was a great line.
Little stuff like that was kind of refreshing to see, you know. But I do like the brotherly love and Dean's little speech to Bobby at the end.
That was awesome.
Yeah, because you're used to Bobby kind of putting his foot in their behinds, and so to see it come the other way around, I love you, Jim Beaver, but yeah, Bobby was an idiot last night.
He was, and it's good to see one of the brothers have a tender at the end of the episode scene with someone else other than each other, you know, because usually it's always them, you know, Sam, you know, Dean, let's cry and be sensitive because it's the end of the episode, and that's what we do every episode, and it just gets tiring. And then to see the one with Bobby and Dean was just, it was really on point. I think I might have, you know, got something in my eye a little, and but it was a break. It was a good break. I was expecting something a little more Halloween-y, especially, you know, for last year, but nah.
Yeah, but I think the last few years, they've kind of gone all out with Halloween. So, I mean, some of the episodes from previous seasons, to me, have always been a little more on the gruesome side than they have been lately. So... I think we've got enough. I think I had enough of blood and gore with Vampire Diaries before it. I was,
Well, I found to kind of change notes here, the Paris Hilton episode. I was very impressed with her on this episode. You know, a lot of people have love hate for Paris Hilton.
Yes, you know what? She was really funny in that episode. Her acting is not very good, but I mean, I didn't really expect it to be, but yeah, I like the way she was able to sit there and poke fun at herself, and
that's,
you know,
kind
of poke fun at the whole celebrity thing, and it was fun.
Yeah,
you know, not to mention getting to see someone other than Sam whoop Dean's ass. That was just kind of weird.
Yeah, he totally was like, "You got whooped by Paris Hilton." Oh my
God! Yeah, that was hilarious.
The all of the in jokes, the House of Wax jokes, the you know, stuff like that. I thought she was a really good sport about that, and it was just kind of refreshing.
It was fun. Yeah. It was a fun little episode.
Okay.
Well, weird to see Gandhi attacking Sam. But...
That was brilliant.
Yeah,
awesome.
Dean, he's like, dude, Gandhi? Really? You are officially a dork.
Especially since
Gandhi
was
the humor in the episodes. I like the humor in the episodes. They, you know, they kind of break up the, not necessarily monotony of the whole gloom and doom scene, but, you know, it kind of adds a little dimension to the show. You know, kind of lets us know that they're you know, they're there for something other than just, you know, killing demons, you know. And they've had several episodes like this throughout the past few seasons, and they've always been a lot of fun to watch. And me and my friends have a lot of fun talking about the episodes afterwards and just kind of giggling like little schoolgirls at how funny it is. So it was great. I loved it.
And the eye candy is not bad.
Yes, eye candy is never a bad thing.
So next on Supernatural, we're going to have, next episode is going to be called Changing Channels. It's going to be based on a reality show or something like that. Or caught in one. I don't know how that's going to go, but it looks like it's going to be hilarious.
It looks like it's going to be hilarious because, I mean, I've never had a chance to see Jensen Ackles in person, but Jared Padalecki, he's hilarious. You know, just having gone to the Icon convention where you know, he does the question and answer with the audience, and he's very funny, he's very spontaneous, and just seeing other cons where him and Jensen have been together, they play very well off each other, even off camera.
Well, that's probably why they have such great chemistry on camera.
And I think they're best friends. Hmm. So, you know, and it's like they play really well off each other, and I think they have a lot of fun filming those, you know, those types of episodes. So it comes across on screen, but I mean, like I said, Jared, very charismatic in person.
I wish we get to see some of that, because he always gets stuck with the sensitive little brother, you know, stereotype. And that's kind of a bummer.
Let Sam shine a little bit.
So it's going to be Changing Channels with reality show, and then another one called The Real Ghostbusters. So I bet you that's just going to be, they're going to have too much fun with that.
Yeah, especially I've been doing really well at staying away from spoilers, because
that wasn't a spoiler.
My TV shows, here's the funny thing, TV shows like Supernatural and I kind of stay away from spoilers with those. Other shows like, you know, the New Moon, as far as the movies, or Vampire Diaries or True Blood, I don't stay away from the spoilers as much because I've read the book, so I kind of already know what's going to happen. But Supernatural is like completely its original, so I try to stay away from the spoilers. I don't look at anything. And this season, I think this season going into it was the first season where I have not had like something major completely spoiled for me. I think the only thing that I found out was about the Paris Hilton bit. Yeah. And I didn't really consider that a spoiler. I was like, oh, she's a guest host. Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, I looked ahead just to see what we were coming up for, because that's basically what they had on Wikipedia, just one-liner what the episode's going to be about. And because I was trying to find out how long we had to go, and we're on the 13th. There's only 13 more episodes left.
Yeah.
So I think we're 7 deep and 13 left. And
they've got a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah. So I hope they'll pull it off in an interesting way that doesn't make them fizzle. And they've been doing such a great job. I don't think they'll have a problem with it.
Yeah, me either. I really hope Bobby gets his legs back.
Yeah, I was hoping he was going to do that. Like, he was going to get an extra 5 years back or something, and that was going to...
See, that's what I was thinking, too. Like, Dean, give him, like, an extra year. You know, it's no big deal, but, you know.
I thought maybe I mean, if he could give him the clap, he can give him, you know, fix his legs. Fix Bobby's legs. So I just was sure that was going to happen, but I don't know.
But I'm sure when he does regain that ability, it will be in some really big,
epic,
glorious place.
Yeah, it would be epic. So
I'm just waiting.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting. And Jim Beaver, the guy who plays Bobby, he keeps giving us little hints on Twitter, and he's, you know, he'll say a little something here and a little something there, and everybody's like, what are you talking about?
You know what?
Stop teasing us.
He was on Psych. Have you heard of that show? Do you catch it at all?
Yes.
He was on Psych.
I used to.
And he was in one of the episodes playing like a cowboy or something like that. And he was actually hot in this episode. I was like, wow, because he didn't look old. His hair was darker. He had his hair pulled back. I think maybe he was shaved a little bit. He was wearing all black, and he looked slender. He looked cleaned up, and I was like, wow.
I gotta go check that episode out.
I was just really impressed. Like, wow, he looks like a totally different person. He kind of has a little bit of a sex appeal. That's weird for Bobby.
I know. You're looking at him like, he's Bobby.
Yeah, he's like a hillbilly something, or you know, he's not hot. But he was actually pretty attractive on there, so yay for him.
Yay. Hotness always works.
Indeed.
Previously on the Vampire Diaries.
For over a century, I have lived in secret. Until now, I know the risk, but I have to know her.
How come you don't sparkle?
Because I live in the real world where vampires burn in the sun.
You go in the sun.
I have a ring. Text me.
The pocket watch, where is it?
It's supposed to be mine.
Did you get the Gilbert watch?
I can get it.
Good. We're gonna need it.
What is that?
Very important crystal.
You're the mystery guy, and I like that. But with mystery comes secrets.
I just need you to trust me.
Trust is earned.
Elena, Caroline, what happened?
Nothing.
Did David hurt you?
There are bruises all over Caroline.
I'm handling it. Mervain could weaken him if he ingested it. It would help get you the upper hand. I knew I couldn't spike your drink, so I spiked hers.
Five bodies all drained of blood?
They've come back.
And we're going to move on to Vampire Diaries.
Oh, this show has become like such a guilty pleasure for me because
wait a second,
I
wait,
was
before
all...
you start, before you, did you know that they're filming in Atlanta, Georgia?
Yes, you know, a girlfriend of mine who is also a big Harry Potter and a big Twilight fan, and she and I have actually talked, matter of fact, talked about this morning, that we might have to try to take a road trip down there just to, you know, kind of see if we can look on the set and,
take
you know,
a
say
picture
hi.
Of the food cart or something. I'm like, what?
Or something, This show, let me tell you, when I first heard about this show coming on, I've had the books for almost a year. Mm-hmm. And a girlfriend of mine gave them to me to read. And I just never got a chance to pick them up because I was reading Twilight. And then I started reading Sookie Stackhouse. And, you know, I tried to read Anita Blake and I couldn't get into that. Anita Blake, Vampire Hunter. It's a book series by Laurel K. Hamilton. Whole nother conversation.
Okay. Yeah, we'll step.
But, you know, I tried to, you know, tried to stick with the genre, and I just got to the point where I was like, okay, I think I need something else to read. I'm kind of, you know, as far as in the books, I started comparing too many things, and it started getting to where I wasn't enjoying them as much. So Vampire Diaries sat on my shelf, and then when I found out that they were doing the TV show, I was like, like, do we need another vampire show? So I started out all set to not really care about this show.
Me too.
And after, I guess, the second episode, I won't even say the second episode. The minute Damon walked on the screen, I was like, okay.
That was it for me.
Interesting.
That was it for me.
Because he's so deliciously evil.
Yes. And hot.
You know, and even in the books, it's like you really want to hate him, like hate his guts. But at the same time, you're just like, but he does it so well.
Yeah, and he knows
it. Dan Somerhalder, oh, God. They couldn't have got a better person to play him.
Now, Damon Salvatore is Ian Somerhalder or whatever. I can't pronounce this. I butchered that.
Somerhalder, I think it is.
Okay. He was Boone in Lost.
Yes, he was.
And he was Lana Lang's boyfriend on Smallville.
Okay, see, I stopped following Smallville a few seasons ago, so I didn't know that, but yeah, he was.
Well, I think he had dark hair in Smallville, and he was kind of blondish for Boone on Lost, which is why...
I think his hair was a little bit darker on Lost, but the thing that kind of threw me was I think he wasn't as, I would say, as fit as he is now.
Oh,
on Lost, if I remember, because I only watched Lost like the first season. I kind of got into some other stuff after that, so it's like I was never at home when it was on. So I just kind of I'm one of those people. If I don't like catching series in the middle of seasons, so if I've missed 3, 4, 5 episodes. I just kind of leave it alone unless it's something I absolutely have to see. And Lost just never grabbed me like that. So
yeah, either you have, yeah, it's either you love it or you hate it on Lost.
Yeah. So, I mean, I remember him being on it, but when I saw him as Damon, I was like, I don't remember him being that hot. He was hot, but
yeah,
not...
I think he colored his hair darker or something, because I don't remember him being that dynamic in Lost. He was just kind of a pushover brother, blah, blah, you know, and just like a lap dog in Lost.
From the hair to the clothes. I mean, and the little thing he does with his eye is like...
Yummy. Oh,
he's like evil personified in this show, and it's so wonderful to watch.
You said it perfect. It was deliciously evil. It's very perfect. Very perfect on him. Now, before we get drool too much over him, Hanako really had to talk me into watching this show because, you know, after Twilight, I, you know, kind of was like, you know, as much crap as I talk about Twilight, it wasn't, you know, as awful as some things that I've seen. I mean, it's no Lost Boys because that was my first introduction to vampires, but this particular show, I was like, oh, it's on CW, it's teens and blah. You'll say that for Vampire Diaries, anybody who doesn't watch it. And if you watch it, it's a very cute show. If you like Smallville, if you like Supernatural, it's the same, I guess...
genre, kind of?
Budget.
As far as the age demographic or...
Yeah. It's like that. Paul Wesley is the main star. He's Stephen Salvatore.
Now, Stephen.
Stephen. Mm-hmm. I said Steve. I'm reading here, so I'm reading Stephen, so sorry. It is Stephen. I don't recall seeing him at all, but he's been on Army Wives, Everwood, Smallville, 24, and God in Light, and some other stuff.
I remember him from Everwood, like the few episodes of that I did catch. This was like years and years ago. 24, I'm really racking my brain about it because I'm a huge 24 fan.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And I don't know if it's that he looked different or maybe it was just because he wasn't a major character.
Yeah, I don't think
I think he was only in a couple of episodes, so that could have been it. But he's kind of hot, too.
Yeah, he's kind of hot. But he's playing the whiny, what's the interview with the vampire? Louis. He's playing the whiny Louis.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, you're so blah.
Well, he's not as whiny to me as, like, say, Louis or even
Angel?
Edward.
What about
and
Angel?
I'm a huge, I love Edward. I you know, that's.
I'll give you that, but he is like right on par with Edward.
I don't know. I guess because I've really gotten to where I separate the two because at first I tried to draw comparisons, but then I got to the point where I was like, okay, this is seeming a little too familiar. And that's when I went to read the books. And after I read the books, I was like, I'm not sure I'm quite feeling Twilight anymore. There's a lot of similarities. Seriously, there's a lot of similarities in how the characters were written. And Vampire Diaries was written 17 years ago. It came out in 92.
What are we trying to say here?
I'm not trying to say that
some inspiration happened somewhere along the line with something.
You know, I know that there are going to be parallels in all genres, you know, as far as, you know, your werewolves will pretty much have the same basic storyline and your vampires and your shapeshifters, they're all going to have a similar folklore. But, you know, I will say for me, for Twilight to have been a complete figment of the imagination from someone who says she had never read or seen any type of vampire book, movie, or whatever, I really find that hard to believe. There were so many similarities in some of the characters, you know, so
between Twilight and Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. And I mean, I think character wise, the development for Vampire Diaries is a little bit better because you're not necessarily looking at it from any particular person's point of view. Like with Twilight, you only get Bella's point of view. You don't see you know, you don't know what anybody else is thinking. You don't know what they're going through unless you read the chapters of Midnight Sun that Stephanie Meyer has posted on her website, and you can kind of see everybody else's point of view because you're getting it from Edward. But with Vampire Diaries, you kind of you see a little bit from Elena's point of view, and then you see a little bit from Stefan's point of view and from Bonnie. And, you know, the characters are a little the characters are different in the books. Like Bonnie was a cute, petite little redhead in the books. And, you know, her ancestors were derived from the triads instead of the, you know, the Salem witches. But, you know, it's a little, you know, it's a little bit different, but the character development for me in Vampire Diaries was a little bit better, you know, because I think one of the things about Elena's character in Vampire Diaries, the books, I hated her character the first part of the book. The first book.
Why?
Hated. Oh, she was the typical high school bitch. She was Miss Homecoming Queen, Miss Cheerleader, Miss
Cordelia Chase.
Yes, she did. And she kind of recognized how shallow and selfish she was throughout the course of the books. It wasn't an overnight thing. It was just kind of, I mean, her whole thing, her whole motivation in trying to get Stefan in the books was she looked at him and he completely walked past her and ignored her. And she was, you know, she had the attitude of, oh, no, he didn't walk past me.
Sort of like the blonde did. On the TV show.
Basically, yes. She was a Carolyn type character in the book, and I hated her the first few chapters. I couldn't stand her character. I was like, oh, I'm so glad they don't have her like this on the show.
Yeah, she's but her is her parents dead in the book? Is her parents dead? Elena's parents dead in the book?
Her parents are dead in the book, but I don't think they ever really said how her parents died. I may have to, you know me, I'll go back and read it a second time just for more details. But her in the books, her parents had been dead almost 3 years, and she had a toddler sister instead of a older, you know, teenager brother.
Oh,
and
wow.
There were other, you know, differences, but I think as far as the characters, they kind of kept in line with what was in the books. For the most part, except for Elena, and I'm glad because, I did not like her in the books, and I love her in the show.
Yeah, I like her in the show. She's a little deep. I guess if we're going to compare Vampire Diaries to, like, Supernatural and Smallville and mention all that, Elena, to me, is sort of like Alana Lang of Smallville, but not as annoying because Lana Lang didn't, I mean, she took forever to find out that Clark Kent was Superman. Here, Elena finds out what in the fifth or sixth episode, and she was quick about
she's
it.
Smart.
She was
yes.
smart about it. And she's that really sold me because I didn't want to have to drag this on for 3 seasons for her to find out that this dude was a vampire because that would really exhausted me. So
I like the. I mean, they make her smart, you know, and she kind of stands up for herself, but she also she thinks things through instead of does things impulsively, you know. And I think her motivation comes from the love, you know, just her caring about people, you know, Caroline and her brother and, you know, even trying to be nice to Vicky when, I mean, Vicky almost killed her in the last episode.
Yeah.
You know,
but she's gone now.
She threatened her and pretty much choked her out. And, you know, she still felt for her, you know, towards the end. So, you know, I think her, the empathy she shows, you know, makes her a great character. So I'm just curious to see how they're going to, you know, what's next.
So this show was originally given 13 episodes. They have gone ahead and pushed through to get a full 22-episode season.
Yay!
Which I thought was pretty amazing. Run-of-the-mill for CW because, I mean, for crying out loud, they're letting Smallville go on for 10 years. And I don't know anybody that still watches that thing because, you know, my God. But
you know what? My husband still watches.
Seriously?
I think. Yeah. Yeah.
What is keeping the man?
I think for the most, I think he's interested in the story, but at the same time, he doesn't watch a lot of TV. So I think pretty much what he likes, he sticks with it.
Huh. Look at so, that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always said I would go back and try to catch up with it, but just the episodes that I sit down with him and watch, I'm like, they've kind of gone so far from where they started.
Yeah.
That it just, I don't know, it's just they've got so many different characters now. It's like one of the special things for me about Superman was that he was kind of an original. There wasn't quite anybody like him, and it's like every episode now somebody else has got a superpower, or you know, there's a new villain that's, you know, been affected by the kryptonite, or it just, I don't know. I think they're doing too much with it, but I mean, you know,
for so
this
long
is coming from
a
non-fan.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I know for a fact that Smallville's premieres and finales are always rocking, but I just haven't been motivated to even watch those. You know, and I was like, just make the man fly. You know, he flew the one time, and then that was it, and now I'm bored. You know, just,
I just, like I said, the couple of episodes that I saw last season, I was not really impressed with. The whole little stiletto episode.
Dude, I don't even know what you're talking about, and I'm glad.
Lois pretended to be a superhero.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
it was
awkward.
You're hurting me right now.
It was awkward.
I guess, keeping in with, I guess, Smallville, the reason that I kind of really responded to Vampire Diaries is they had the Smallville feel of the little small town. They had the football team, which I really enjoyed. You know, the little cheerleaders. So, you know, just regular small town stuff, founders party and stuff.
Yes.
You know, things that you would imagine a small town to do, because, you know, I grew up in Houston all my life. I don't understand small towns, but for TV it looks quaint and, oh my God, small towns are so great and, you know, I don't know. But that little feel to it, I really enjoy.
I think that for me as well, I like the small town feel of it. I hate shows where the teenagers are like the super rich, super elite. It's like it's very unrelatable for me at least, because, you know, just the attitudes and the way these, you know, quote unquote teenagers come across with all the, you know, I do realize teenagers nowadays, they drink and they have sex and they do this and they do that.
You sound
but
like
the
a grandma.
Extremity, I know, but I have to, because I have a teenager now myself.
Okay.
So it's like, I remember what kids my age were doing back then, so it's kind of like, okay, I know that this still happens, and I know it's kind of, you know, I won't say common, but it's out there. But the extremity that these shows go to, like the Gossip Girls
I've
and
the
One Tree Hills with all the rich kids and the cars and it's just so phony to me, and I just, that doesn't sit well with me. That's why I don't like those types of shows, but Vampire Diaries, like you said, it kind of resonates with me because of the fact that it's more everyday. You know, it's more, you know, more relatable for people. You know, you can actually, it kind of pulls you in and says, okay, you know what? That can actually happen. Even though, you know, technically, I know that there's not going to be some hot, gorgeous vampire walking into Atlanta anytime soon, but still.
Girls, probably some hot vampires there. You got to look around. You gotta know where to look. But the parental absence on this show, I mean, because the kids, they're raised by a young aunt, and all of the adults in the show are not parents. They're like,
yes,
yeah, I just kind of noticed that. And then they have Jasmine Guy as a grandma. You know she's too young to be a grandma. I would imagine that she is too young to be a grandma.
Yeah, well, let me see. Yeah, technically she would be.
Oh, I guess. Well, she's looking real grandma-ish on the show. But when I saw her as a grandma, I was like, isn't she too young to be Grams?
But you know, black women age very gracefully, so it could be possible. it's very possible that she could be a grandma, you know. A little bit younger than your norm, so.
I hope I age gracefully. I don't know about all that, but.
But yeah, and that was one thing. That was one of the first things that did bother me about the show. I'm like, where are all the parents? And then the parents that you do see are, you know, it's like you have Tyler's parents who are, you know, the mayor and his snobby wife. You know, yeah. She was the one who made the comment about, you know, that's what happens when you bring the trash home. About Vicky. And then Caroline and her mother, apparently there's animosity there.
Caroline. Who's Caroline?
Caroline is the blonde.
She with the cop mom with the bad hair. Oh, my God.
Yes, the cop mom with the bad hair whose husband apparently left her for another guy. As Caroline points out in almost every episode.
I don't know why he would leave her for a guy. She practically looks like a guy.
Oh, wow. You know, it's the badge. It's the badge. But, I mean, and Elena and Jeremy's aunt looks not too much older than them. I mean, the lack of parental figures.
I mean, the coach died. He was like the most parental figure that they had, the cranky coach. But now he's gone.
But he even looked young. He even looked like really young. I think to me, the person who looked the oldest was Zach. You know, they kind of made him a little bit gray.
Yes.
Just a little bit older, I guess, just to kind of show the contrast between the fact that, you know, he is actually a grandnephew or great-grandnephew of Stefan and Damon, but they're trying to show that, okay, you know, even though they're the older ones, he's, you know, he looks older because of, you know, them being what they are, but...
Right. And to point out, aren't they... They said they're supposed to be 17, Stefan and Damon. They're supposed to be passing the 17 or something. Those dudes look 30.
I won't say they look 30.
Those dudes look old. They can't pass for high school students. Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't know. Have you seen high school students these days?
I don't know. Maybe. But they don't have the young face thing. You know, when you're young, you have a little cheeks thing going on, and you can just tell when somebody's younger. These dudes look like they done been smoking cigars, and I don't know. They just... I don't know,
but I mean, they work for me.
They do work. They are hot. I can feel good about liking them and not feel like a cougar, but.
But, you know, I'm kind of glad that they, with this show, that they went with a cast that was not necessarily unknown, but relatively unknown.
Yeah.
Because it gives them a chance to kind of, you know, I guess make these characters their own and be remembered for that instead of them trying to break out of any kind of stereotype. I mean, love
now they'd have to do that after they find word from this one, this TV series. But Nina Dobry, which is Elena Gilbert, this is her first thing.
No, she was actually in Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Ew.
And she's actually got a couple of credits under her belt, but she's not, you know, she's not like your huge teen star.
Damn
but
you, Internet Movie Database.
Yeah.
They only had that on there.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe I was looking at something weird or something, but that's all I saw. And I was like, wow, this is your first thing. You look like you've been acting for a while. Well, I was impressed.
She's really good, but yeah. But you know, I also follow them on Twitter too. So,
okay. I won't. Yeah. You know your stuff. Well, Elena and being, an exact lookalike of Catherine, who both turned the brothers. I have a feeling that Elena is Catherine, but lost her memory and got turned human and got a second chance or something weird like that. Because I just don't know. Am I reaching?
I can say I'll say you're reaching. Yeah. I'll say that much.
Because it's like, why does she look exactly the same? I mean, unless something weird happened. Like, that just really doesn't happen in the same town, the same girl with no relation to the other chick just happens to look the same. I mean, how does that work?
That's true.
Okay.
But I don't know. We'll have to see how the show plays it out, because they've actually changed a lot from what's in the books. So I don't know how they're going to kind of wrap up that whole, I guess the whole little love triangle thing with Stefan and Damon both trying to, you know, win over Elena. And
Damon's
with her.
It's not going to happen for her and Damon. there's no triangle.
Yeah, Damon's kind of putting his foot in his mouth a lot lately. So,
well, do you ever think that there would be a Vampire Diary Supernatural crossover?
That would be interesting
because they'd have to kill the brothers.
That would be, or the brothers would have to kill them.
Nah, shut your mouth. Sam
and Dean have killed vampires before.
No, that's what I'm saying. They killed a vampire. I don't think the vampires would have a chance.
Yeah, so that would be interesting.
What do you think about the ring, the daytime ring thing? I've only seen it once on Angel. But other than that, the ring that lets them walk out in the daytime, what is that about? I mean, is that a vampire lore? Is that breaking some sort of, I don't...
You know, I don't know much about regular vampire lore because it's only been in the last few years that I've really, really, you know, started getting into it. So, but I don't know. I had never heard of that before. My whole knowledge of vampires is basically the whole, you know, vampires can't walk in the sun if they're exposed to sunlight. They burn up, turn into ashes, that whole thing. So, you know, the new things that they're doing as far as with the vampires, because I'm not so stuck into that, you know.
So the ring, it doesn't bother
those myths. It doesn't bother me.
I wasn't that. I guess because I've seen it on Angel before, and I loved Angel, and I accepted it then. That it just doesn't bother me now.
Yeah, because I mean, to me, it makes them less. It makes them, you know, less suspicious.
Yes.
It actually lends a little bit of credibility to the fact that nobody can figure out that these two guys are vampires,
yeah.
Except for, like, say, the old black guy who
remembered,
recognized,
yeah,
Stefan. But for the most part, you know, even last night's episode when Damon tried to, you know, I guess, you know, use his influence over Tyler's mom, and she's like, "What's wrong with your eyes?" And he's like, "Oh, nothing." And he's like, "Okay, what's going on?" I mean, she had
the
no
bracelet.
Clue.
She had the bracelet. The what is that plant called? Vervain, or I don't know what it's called.
Vervain. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, just even the fact that she didn't find him suspicious, you know, just like,
yeah,
he said, "Okay, how did you guys, you know, eliminate people from your..." These are the vampires. She said, "Oh, we had a party," and she said the founder's party. Basically, anybody who came to the party was, you know, eliminated from suspicion because of the fact that they also believe, you know, that vampires can't exist in the sunlight. So naturally, they're going to say, "Okay, well, these people are at the party, so they can't be vampires."
Yeah.
So, you know, I find that part of the, you know, the whole ring talisman kind of allowing them to walk around with regular people, I find that kind of intriguing.
Yeah.
Because it really lends to the, okay, if they can do this, what else, you know, what else are we missing, or what else can they do?
Well, they already made the snarky remark that they don't sparkle.
Oh, that was just priceless. That was priceless. He's like, "I don't understand. Why is everybody whipped by this Bella chick?" Oh, my God. That was just, my daughters found that so hilarious.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. Well, did you watch Buffy and Angel?
You know what? I started out watching Buffy and Angel as well. You know, I only watched a couple of episodes because, again, this was back, you know, when my kids were real young. Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch a lot of TV back then. I mean, I maybe watched 2 or 3 shows. And those weren't even consistently at that time. I didn't really start watching TV consistently, I will say, until 24.
Oh,
I kind of got sucked into that.
That'll do.
And then from there, I just started noticing other shows. And I think Supernatural probably was the second one where I sat down and watched the first episode of the second season. And I was like, "Oh, my God, where in the world have I? What rock was I hiding under?" And that just kind of, those two shows just kind of started it for me to say, okay, you know what? Let me try this TV thing again. Because a lot of the shows that I liked ended up getting canceled. I loved Dark Angel, and I was so upset when they canceled it.
Did you watch Blood Ties at all?
I started watching that. I think I may have watched a couple of episodes of that, but again, not enough to remember.
Moonlight.
But, you know, I started watching that right before they came.
Yeah.
So it's like for me, you know, a lot of the shows that I liked, they either got canceled or they started moving so far away from what they started as that I just kind of lost interest. X-Files was like that for me. I stopped watching it after a while. And that was a show that I was really into.
Yeah. That sixth and seventh season was just, or I don't know, just the last two seasons just really killed it for me with the X-Files.
Yeah, and I mean, other shows like that, Stargate SG-1 was another show that I watched faithfully up until the ninth and tenth seasons. Once Richard Dean Anderson left, it was just kind of like, it's still good, but it just wasn't the same for me anymore.
Yeah,
so
I'm glad you're not watching SGU, but that's another podcast.
Yeah that's another podcast. I really got to the point where I felt bad. I was like, I haven't watched the last two episodes, and then I'm missing tonight. And I just really feel I'm not disturbed by it. And that's so sad because I was so excited when the Stargate series was announced that they were going to do a series based on the movie. I was so excited.
I love that
movie. Husband, I went to him. I was like, oh my God, they're doing a series off Stargate. And he was like, I hope they don't make it cheesy. And that was one of the shows that he would make sure he watched. You know, and it was one of the shows that we would sit down together and watch every episode and loved it. So I'm not too sure about what they're doing with it now. But yeah, like you said, whole nother episode.
Thanks. What happened with Jasper? It was nothing.
Nothing compared to what could have happened. I promise never to put you through anything like this ever again. This is the last time you'll ever see me.
How much could you mean to him if he left you here, unprotected? But I can't help myself. You are so mouth-watering.
Right, well, we've gushed about Vampire Diaries and kind of, you know, went off topic a little bit, but that's fine. Because we're going to go into New Moon, Twilight.
Whew!
What was that?
Okay, let me tell you, and I know this is going to shock you, but after Twilight came out in the movies and all these other things started coming out, True Blood, and, you know, just reading other vampire stories and watching movies and stuff, I had just gotten to the point where I really was not as big a fan of Twilight as I was
the first time I met you.
Year. Yeah. I know, exactly.
You were practically an evangelist.
I mean, like, literally last year, I had to have talked about Twilight almost as much as I talk about Harry Potter, and everybody who knows me knows Harry Potter is practically every other word out of my mouth. So to go from talking about Twilight that much and just loving it that much, and then to a point where I mean when they first started doing shooting and promo shots and, you know, talking about New Moon, I was almost non-interested.
Whoa,
really?
I thought it happened after that.
No, I was just like, I really don't know what to expect now, and I just
was that
really
after
don't
you read the last book that you said was a hard read, Or was it just because other stuff started coming out and you got interested in other stuff? I mean, what?
I think it was a combination of both, because with both Twilight the movie and with Breaking Dawn the book, the first time I read and saw them, I loved it. The more and more I thought about Breaking Dawn, the more and more I started saying, I'm not quite sure I like what she did with the story, you know, and just the more and more I thought about it and then discussed it with friends as far as, you know, what we liked, what we didn't like, and things that we thought were going to happen that didn't happen. It just, I hate to keep comparing, you know, apples to oranges, but after reading what J.K. Rowling did with Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, as far as, you know, for the whole series, she's built up to this huge, huge conflict. And then she really gave it to us. You know, she didn't sugarcoat anything. You know, there were characters that Harry Potter fans loved from book one that got killed in book seven. I mean, literally, I cried. I boo-hooed in that book. And, you know, it was kind of the same way with Twilight. There was always this little conflict, at least from New Moon, with the Volturi that Stephanie Meyer kind of built up. The Volturi are the evil vampires. If you've seen the clips,
Is that the tribunal?
They're kind of like vampire royalty in Italy.
Right, that's what they use the word royalty.
They're like the old, they're like the older vampires, the ones that you know, if you do anything to kind of expose vampires for what they are, they're the ones who are going to come and take care of you. They're the royalty. They're the ones who kind of govern everything. So, you know, from New Moon on, through Eclipse and through Breaking Dawn, there was this big buildup of this big war or conflict that was supposed to happen, to the point where in Breaking Dawn, she had to have introduced at least 50 new characters. And these were all vampires from around the world who were supposed to come and help the Cullens with this threat.
Sounds like an interview with a vampire.
But it was kind of like she built up this really, really huge climax, and then at the end, it just kind of fell flat. And it was just kind of, at first, I was like, okay, good, nobody that I like died. But then at the same time, the more and more time went by and I thought about it, I was like, wait a minute, that's so not realistic, you know, to have this big build up and to expect that, you know, to expect this to happen and expect that to happen, and literally it just kind of fell apart. And the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I was like, you know, I don't know. And then there were other changes that she made in the books that just kind of made it not as interesting for me. So, you know, and New Moon was already already my least favorite book before Breaking Dawn, because of the fact that Edward is gone through most of it.
Oh.
And Edward is the character that kind of drew me in the first book, even though, yes, he seems kind of stalkerish and all this other stuff, but still, it's just the fact that, you know, you have this vampire who has gone for decades, you know, just kind of keeping away from someone, and then to see him kind of melt at the, you know, at the thought of loving this person and being with this person. You know, every teenage girl or every woman wants that, you know, one perfect man who will literally do anything for them, you know, that whole romanticized type of love. So when he left in New Moon, I got to the point where I was like, I don't even want to read this book again. But I kept on because I was like, okay, there's a third book and she's writing a fourth. So he has to come back, because the whole series is based on Edward and Bella. So that was why I kept reading. Going into the movie, I was like, I don't know if I really want to see this, because Robert Pattinson is not going to be in this movie much. And at the time,
I was all up in the trailer.
Yeah, well, what they did was they're utilizing him as Bella's memories, which is kind of what happens in the book. She starts to do reckless things because she sees him when she does the reckless thing. She kind of sees him as this like subconscious saying, you know, you don't need to do this. Don't endanger yourself. Please take care of yourself. And so she says, okay, the more danger that I put myself in, the more I'm going to see him, even if it's just a figment of my imagination. That's kind of how crazy Bella got in New Moon.
We got that from the trailer.
Is that the whole movie? Because crying out loud, I saw the whole movie already in the trailer.
You know what? That's what a lot of people say, but you have to think about it. The movie is going to be like maybe two and a half hours long.
I've seen
the trailer only is like 4 minutes.
They've had some trailers where they showed literally the whole movie in the trailer, and you go see the movie and it's 2 hours of, hey, I've already seen this shit. What the hell? You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to see it mainly because you pumped it up. It's your fault, actually.
I think with New Moon, though, I think I'm really excited to see it because, for one,
Edward,
the special effects with the wolf transformations
are so awesome. Yeah, it is. It is.
Compared to, they have a bigger budget, so they can do a little bit more.
You better sparkle.
So, you know, just, and literally that first trailer where we saw Jacob transform, and I think that was at the MTV Movie Awards.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that trailer exploded. Was what got me excited. Mm-hmm. That was the trailer that made me say, oh shit, this might actually be something.
I think that was a trailer for everybody that was like, well, maybe, you know.
Yeah, because a lot of people were so, you know, the diehard fans, of course, still love Twilight, but for the people who were not as big, you know, of a fan of Twilight, the movie was kind of a fall through. And even for me, I love the movie and I love what they tried to do with it. But even now, as an adult, just trying to watch the movie, it's kind of painful. It's kind of cringeworthy for me because it comes across now as so cheesy. So I was kind of, you know, skeptical about how New Moon was going to come across. But from what I've seen so far, it looks really good. And let me.
So my question to you is, why do you think that Twilight got the movie deal and not Vampire Diaries? If you believe that Vampire Diaries is the more interesting story.
You know, I don't know. I think probably just because of the fact that when Twilight came out, it became such a huge, you know, it became such a huge hit so fast.
The book or the movie?
The books. Because the books literally, for this decade, jumped off the whole vampire craze. Because the vampires were kind of dying off. Because, I mean, like I said, Vampire Diaries came out in 92. Even the Sookie Stackhouse books, I believe the first one was published in, like, 2001. And aside from, like, Charlene Harris's diehard fans, she even said nobody really knew her books, you know. So when Twilight came out and it got so popular, people started, you know, looking for other vampires.
I just can't imagine why. I mean, I guess maybe the book is. Oh, I just can't imagine why.
I think, like I said, for me, reading Twilight for the first time, I felt like a teenager going through the stages of first love. And I think that's kind of what gripped everybody. It's like, oh, you feel like a teenager that's falling in love for the first time. You have the same insecurities and you have the same desires and the same, you know, sexual tension. And it's just, she told the story very well in Twilight. You know, it was a good story. You know, I just think that she got to a point where she tried to make a particular story arc with it, and I don't know, it just
didn't work out.
For some people it was good and for some people it wasn't. I mean, I've read Twilight fan fiction that's better than Breaking Dawn.
You know.
And I'm not saying this to be mean. I mean, like I said, she wrote a good story that, you know, drew me in, but I'll be honest, at the same time, the only reason why I ever picked up Twilight was because of the fact that Robert Pattinson got cast in the movie. I'm just being honest. I'm one of those people. He was a Harry Potter
member. Yeah, I can see that. I can totally see that for you.
You know, and looking at the extras on the DVDs and just watching him in interviews and how he interacted with people and how just kind of non-assuming and self-deprecating and kind of really humble. I like that type of celebrity. I don't really like the ones who are kind of, you know, flash in your face. Oh, I'm in a movie now. I'm in a Harry Potter movie, so I'm going to be, you know, this big, you know, I'm going to become an ass, which, you know, luckily we haven't seen that with the Harry Potter, you know, the Harry Potter cast, because they're all so well grounded. You know,
That's awesome.
I mean, you don't hear about them like you hear about our teenage stars.
Oh, Americans.
So it's different. So when I found out that he was going to be in the movie, and I mean, he literally, there were so many females who were so mean about it. They were like, oh, he's not beautiful enough, and he's not this, and he's not talented enough, and
really?
Just
yeah.
saying all sorts of stuff.
I mean, I wasn't feeling him. You know, he just, on first look, I'm like, so he's hot? Okay. But he's hotter in the Harry Potter movies than he is in the Twilight movies. I don't know what the deal is.
I think
Twilight
part
movies.
Of that has to do with the makeup, because
yeah, it has to be.
Him in the photo shoot.
Yeah,
oh,
he looks so
God.
Pale and cakey.
Yeah, but you know, I think that was just kind of what made me say, okay, I'm gonna finally pick up this book. I'm gonna see what the big fuss is about. Kind of like I did with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Because the reason why I picked up Harry Potter was, okay, everybody makes such a big fuss about this
They're
book.
Trying to burn
Either
the book.
You're overly obsessed with it, or you think it's from the devil and you're going to hell for reading.
I don't understand.
I want to know what the, you know. I want to know what the deal is. So yeah. that was kind of how I got into that. And the same with Twilight. I just wanted to know, okay, is this story really that good that people, I mean, grown women are like fawning over the story?
Wow.
So of course I go to pick up the first one, and I'm done with all three within 3 days.
Oh,
and then I have
goodness.
To wait. Then I have to wait 5 months for Breaking Dawn. And that was
so funny.
Yeah. I was so excited. I went to a midnight book release for Breaking Dawn.
Look at you.
They had a trivia contest where the person who won the trivia contest would win their copy free. I was the only person in the store who got every single question right.
Oh my goodness.
So I got my Breaking Dawn book for free. I was the first person to walk out of the store with the book. I was so excited.
Yeah,
and
oh my God.
Just after a while, it's like, I don't know. And I think also for me, I got into the story and forgot that she wrote it for teens and that she was keeping it clean, because the amount of sexual tension in the books, you cannot deny. There's so much sexual tension between the first three books that it's ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
And the fact that she, you know, because of her Mormon beliefs, she was like, well, they're not going to have sex before they get married, and I'm not going to write it in detail in the books. It was kind of like, how can you have all this tension and then just kind of, you know, just, I don't know, dumb it down. I'm not saying that she should have gone out and written smut. There are excellent fan fiction authors who did that brilliantly. But the fact that she kind of went to like this really big peak and climax, you know, no pun intended. And then it was just kind of dumbed down after that. It was like,
what?
Exactly. And you know, it just I don't know, that just kind of whole thing just kind of messed with my head a little.
well we are gonna do a show after New Moon comes out. I'm pretty sure you won't get a different mood or feel from us. Maybe we'll like it, maybe we'll have yeah. something to say, you know, decent about it, but I don't know.
I'm really excited to see it. I like the look of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Just the small changes they made as far as the contacts and the eye color for the vampires.
Yeah.
It's a little more pronounced now. And like I said, the wolf transformations and the wolf pack and their abs and...
their abs. So vampires and werewolves, they're always paired together. Are they? Because you got Underworld had vampires, lichens. Buffy had a werewolf.
You know, I didn't think about it until there's a show on the Reels channel that comes on every week. It's a weekly program, and it's called Twilight Spotlight. And basically what they do is they take an aspect of Twilight and they focus on something different every week. So
this is a show specific to Twilight. I mean, it's on cable?
It's on the Reels channel.
What is that?
I know that I get Reels on DirecTV, but it's R-E-E-L-Z. And they have the show, and they've run it weekly. I think it started like sometime in August is when I noticed that it was coming on. And basically what it is, they take one aspect of Twilight and they kind of focus on it each week, whether it be one of the actors and their past works, or whether it's something specific to the series. Like they've done an episode where they toured the town of Forks and just kind of interview people around Forks to see how the Twilight series has changed things in the town. And there was an episode a couple of weeks ago. Matter of fact, my daughter and I were just watching it the other day, and it was basically talking about the werewolf and vampire conflict throughout movie history, starting with Vampire and the Wolfman. I think there's an old black and white movie where they were paired together with Swamp Thing and the Mummy.
Oh my God.
So all the way back to then, and they talked about just the different vampire movies and genres. I mean, we have it with Blade and...
Blade. That's the one I didn't bring up.
Yeah. And with, like, True Blood, like, the first, the second season, you saw, vampires and shapeshifters. But there are werewolves in that series as well.
Yeah.
Which we'll be seeing in season 3.
Yes.
So,
what about this Snoop Dogg thing that he wanted? He made this big campaign. He wanted to be on True Blood.
He apparently is a huge True Blood fan. And he has said, whatever y'all want to put me in as, I don't care. I just want to be in the show. Which I thought was interesting. I was like, wow, Snoop likes True Blood. But yeah, apparently he even mentioned it in one of his songs on his new album. So.
What? Yeah. And that sounds like he might be a stalker.
Yeah.
He might get what he wants. He'd be maybe Lafayette's girlfriend or something.
Girl, you better not let that statement get out.
Oh, man. Well, Hanako, it has been very, very fun. We're going on an hour here, or 45 minutes. I don't know how long it's going to be, but it's been fun.
Yeah, vampires. We can talk when we get to talking
about vampires. This has been a whole vampire episode. It's been awesome.
Just about, yeah, it has.
Yeah. So, let us know where we can find you.
Okay, I am on Twitter at HMR Potter. I am also, I have a new fandom blog that I'm trying to start up, and that's at Blogspot, same name, HMR Potter. And in the very near future, you can see me as a writer at the Akio Potter website.
What is that?
Akio-Potter.com. It's Harry Potter website.
Okay.
It's a fan site run by fans, and I just got invited to be on staff. So
sweet.
I'll be doing like some writing and some editorials and just, fun things, just kind of getting myself out there a little bit more in Potter world.
Oh, that is so awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. And guys, go ahead and give us a call at 773-336-2686, 773-336-2686. We'd love to hear from you, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Can you dig it?
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange. When you're strange. People
strange.